Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. And I'll remind you, by the way, that after this hour, the next time you hear me, I'll be in Texas, in the great state of Texas, broadcasting from near the Woodlands, which is hard by to Houston, as I broadcast from the Administaff Small Business Classic, which is the Champions Tour tournament that this is my second year, consecutive year to broadcast from. I mean, if they have a small business tournament, I got to be there, right? That's the way I look at it. So I'll be out there, and so you'll be hearing me on the road the rest of the week. I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to our visit with Tim Berry, who's with us right now. Tim is the president of Palo Alto Software, the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning, and he's the world's expert on business planning, and he's our good friend. He's also, in the interest of full disclosure, one of our sponsors. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Very happy to be with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. Now, tell me, you're a small business. Is your business celebrating Columbus Day by being closed today?
No, we're not closed today. We think it's unusual on the West Coast to close. We think you get a lot more closures on the East Coast.
Well, because Columbus didn't discover the West Coast. He discovered the East Coast, didn't he?
Maybe that's it. It might just be custom, but who knows?
It might just be...
I do notice that because of all different conversations that a lot more businesses will be closed on the East Coast than out here in the West.
But how many small businesses are closed today? I bet not many.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you there.
I think maybe two all over the entire country. Tim, one of the things I know you want to talk about today as we continue this long-running series, now approaching 8 years of at least 7.5 now of you being on the show talking about business planning, helping us become better at managing and growing our businesses, are some of the common mistakes that people make. And I'd like for you to talk to us about some of those.
Yes, let's start with perhaps the most common and most significant mistake in business planning, which is not doing it, putting it off. You have to start there. Too many people get by without doing the planning entirely, and that's common mistake number one.
And you have to take that first step, don't you? Before we go into the next mistake, help us get started. What is the first thing we can do? If I could throw out my example first, is something I've been talking about for a long time, is to realize that you are saying your business plan every day. Even if you don't have it written down, you're saying it to somebody. And so if you can say it out of your mouth, you can write it down on paper.
I think very closely related to that is understanding that what you really want is a planning process. People put it off and misunderstand. They think it's a document. They think of a business plan as something you do once to get over some problem that you have, some hurdle. Whereas in truth, it's a process that changes your relationship with your business. You know the phrase, control your destiny?
Right.
People like to control their own destiny. It means being proactive in business and not reactive. Well, that planning process, controlling your destiny, is what you want. And I like your saying people say their plan every day. Well, you want to control your destiny. You want to determine where you're going to be. You use the planning process to do that. And people are not realizing that. They're thinking, oh, it's this one document that I have to do, and I don't have to do it because I'm not getting a loan or I'm not getting a new investment. That's what people think. I'm not saying right.
But how do we get?
Getting a loan and I'm not getting new investment, I don't need a plan. And it just, you do want the planning process.
Well, exactly. But how do we, you know, Tim, it seems to me that one of the challenges that small business owners have, and it causes them to make the fundamental, the cardinal mistake of not planning at all, is getting it integrated into our day, getting it integrated into our schedule. I mean, we don't have to, I don't have to tell you what small business owners are up against. You are one of us. So, I mean, how do we get this integrated into our day?
Well, I know how I do it. And that's through years now. We are a small business with 35 people. What we do is every Tuesday morning at 9 in the morning, 9 of the 35 meet to look at the milestones. And the third Thursday of every month, there's a group of managers that gets together and meets to look at plan versus actual review.
Mm-hmm.
And we know when those meetings are. Everybody has to have a good reason if they can't make those meetings, and it becomes second nature to you that it's not just the plan, it's going to be the plan versus actual review.
Right.
And of course,
hold on to that thought, Tim. When we come back, I'm going to ask Tim, how do we make sure we stay with the meeting schedule? That's hard too, isn't it, folks? 20 till, don't go away. We'll be right back with our good friend Tim Berry, the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software. They make Business Plan Pro 2005. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Tim Berry is our guest and our good friend. Tim, give us your website. You've got a Tim Berry website, don't you?
Yes, timberry.com.
B-E-R-R-Y. What do we find on there?
You've got some seminars now that I've been doing that are like multimedia on the web. A lot of articles.
Right.
I like the tools and the interactive stuff on timberry.com. That's been a special interest of mine recently is doing my presentations, talking and showing pictures on the web so that anybody can go get that at any time.
Right. So check that out, folks, at timberry.com and, of course, paloaltosoftware.com. But they can go to bplans.com and see examples of real business plans, can't they?
Yes. Yeah, bplans.com is we're pretty sure the world's largest free resource for business planning tips, tools, examples, questions and answers, things like that. That's at bplans, bplans.com.
Tim, we were talking about how to get the business plan built into our schedule, and you said one of the things you guys do and that you recommended was having regular meetings. Just having regular meetings for a lot of small businesses is hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you really have to commit to it. And what happens is over time, it's really important that people get used to this process. It's a lot harder in the beginning. I know back in the years when I used to do a lot of consulting on this for small, medium, and some larger companies, I would emphasize for the people in charge, you've got to commit to this really well. For the first few months at least, you must make the method so that what happens is if it's a process, not just a plan, and the process involves reviewing the plan, then people need to see that somebody's going to review a plan so that they feel they're committed to implementing the plan. If the plan's going to go in a drawer and nobody's going to look at it again, it doesn't mean very much.
Right.
So all this comes together, and in the beginning, those review meetings and milestone meetings are really important, and the top ownership in the company has to commit to we're going to do this, we're going to have these meetings, and then over time people see the value. So it's not hard, like my company's been around for 18 years, it's not hard anymore for us to make people respect those meetings because they know they're going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning it was hard.
What's the next mistake that they make, that people make in business planning?
What I call the price fallacy. You and I have talked about this before. People, particularly as they're starting up their business, have this idea that the lowest price offering wins. And it just hurts people as
that's a death strategy for small businesses, isn't it?
No kidding. And you see it over and over again. The large, high-volume companies can get away with having a low-price strategy, and it actually works for some very large companies when it's done right. But instead, with the small business, people, they seem to think it's automatic. I run into this a lot with people just developing their plan for the first time. They think it's important to be the lowest price. And you just have to realize that the classic economics of lower price means higher volume is true for some commodities like coal or gasoline when they're really commodities. But then look around you in your own habits with what you do with, say, restaurants you go to, airlines you choose, books you buy. In the real world, people aren't necessarily choosing the low price.
Well, I like to say the restaurant example. Think of a restaurant you go to, and you haven't even looked at a menu in years, because you know what you want, you love it, you go back there for that one thing or those two things, and you don't even know if they've raised the price or not.
And it's rarely a 29-cent hamburger, right?
Right.
There's a place for that, but it's a lot easier, particularly for small businesses, to start up by understanding that they're not going to be the lowest price. They're going to give a specific set of people what they want, and they're going to charge a fair price for it, not a high price, but a fair price.
Right.
And without that, businesses are decapitalizing all the time, as you say, the death wish.
Well, it just amazes me at the people who think... Let me put it this way. If you think that you've got to go low on your price in order to try to beat Walmart, why don't you just go ahead and set fire to all your money? It'll be a lot less painful.
Exactly.
You know, if you're trying to beat Walmart, you know, that's like saying you're going to go out to Everest and take a pickaxe and you're going to knock Mount Everest down. You know, you're not going to do it, folks. Walmart might knock themselves down, but you're not going to do it. And so why even play that game? Why not go play a game that you can win, which is a price that you can make a profit in, serving not what customers need, but what they want? Because they'll pay more for what they want, won't they, Tim?
Absolutely. And everybody does. It's only when we suddenly get into this planning mode where we're thinking blue sky that somehow we're then going back to what we think is basic economics, forgetting how infrequently this commodity thing applies, and we're going to get back down to being the lowest price.
Well, and you know, Tim, one of the cool things about the planning process is are the financial models. Once you start working with electronic spreadsheets and you get your models built, which they can obviously do with your business plan, Business Plan Pro, once you see that and you can start tweaking this number and that number to see where you're wrong, where you need to fix something, where you need to raise prices or lower costs or whatever, when you see one of those in front of you, it's really an incredible thing. And I want to land on those financials when we come back right after these messages. Folks, this could be an aha moment in the life of your small business, these financial models. Tim Till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Tim Berry is our guest. He and I will be right back. Robert Cray, ladies and gentlemen, on blues guitar there. Remember, when next you hear me, I will be in Texas, hard by to Houston, in the Woodlands area, broadcasting from the Administaff Small Business Classic. Looking forward to that. We're going to have a great week, and yes, I'm probably going to play a little golf while I'm down there. Tim Berry is our good friend and one of our partners and the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning, which, by the way, Tim, if I'm not mistaken, in most editions of Business Plan Pro, Hurdle, the book Hurdle, is part of the package, isn't it?
Yes, we do. We include that with Business Plan Pro because that helps people do what they want to do with it.
So in addition to the software, you also get the book, folks, that will help you to talk. And it talks about some of the things that Tim and I talk about on the show. Tim, I was as we were going to the break, I was talking about, I remember 20 or so years ago when they actually first started building electronic spreadsheets, when I started doing those and I could see how I could tweak this or that, I could say, okay, if I increase my profit margin 2%, what does that do to my bottom line? What does that do to my cash flow, et cetera, et cetera? Or if I lower my expenses 3% or if I increase my sales 8% or whatever, what does that do to all these other numbers? And to see that ripple through that electronic spreadsheet, that's a magical moment when that first happens, isn't it?
And critical to your business, too. Magical for a lot of important reasons. What we find with business planning is one of the main benefits is cash flow. And, of course, that's the contrary side of we're talking about errors. The not doing cash is one of the main errors because your cash flow isn't intuitive. When we say, oh, you're underpricing, you're going to undercapitalize your business, that sounds very theoretical until you realize that because you have, say, too low a price or other problems with your cash, you can be profitable and still go under. And that spreadsheet that you're talking about is a simple way to just roll the how much money goes into the business and how much money comes back out and so on. Just put it month by month and see that, oh, my God, all my cash is going into inventory and it's sitting there, or all my cash is waiting for clients to pay me or whatever the problems might be. Cash isn't intuitive, and a business plan is the place where you start to see how your cash is flowing and why and how to run that, how to manage it.
Tim, I think we've got time for one more mistake that people make.
The blue sky business plan. We mentioned that a few minutes ago. The making the business plan all theoretical, all strategic, and leaving out the concrete, specific dates, deadlines, and responsibility assignments that make that plan something important to the people who are going to run it.
Put a little pressure on yourself. Is that what you're saying?
Be able to go back and track. Yes, put a little bit of pressure on everybody involved in committing the plan and implementing the plan. Pressure on everybody to do what was planned.
You know, my friend R.K. Ciancutti, who along with Thomas Stedding wrote the book Built on Trust, he talks about building trust in your organization. And one of the ways you do that is that everybody who says they're going to do something actually delivers on what they said they were going to deliver.
And that's why you want those meetings, because they have to know that they're going to be asked whether or not they delivered on what they said they were going to deliver.
Right, right. Tim, all right, we've got time for one more.
Not doing it. I'm sorry, I go back to the beginning with one more. The one more is, remember, business plans are never done. It's not the plan, it's the process. So keep it rolling. Think about controlling your own destiny. It's not some dumb document that you have to do because somebody says so. It's something that's going to help you make your business better and guide your business in the direction that you want to go.
You know, Tim, if they could do it, if banks could tell everybody who wanted a business loan that they had to bring a business plan to them, obviously, you'd sell more stuff, but the main thing is the economy, the marketplace would be stronger because small business owners would be stronger, wouldn't they?
Well, and we'd still be fighting that if the banks forced everybody to do a business plan, we'd still have to worry about just doing a plan. I mean, one of the smartest things I saw written about business planning was that sentence: a business plan is never done. It recognizes that you're going to have reality coming up. We're guessing the future here with business plans, and guessing the future is always a guess. It's not about guessing right on any specific instance. It's about the process so that you're constantly reviewing your guess and changing your plan.
Well said, Tim. Thank you for being here. Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen. Tim, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Tim.
PaloAlto.com, by the way, is the website. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll see you in Texas tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.